You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. And this is the debut episode of Cannonballs, which I guess technically is not the debut episode because we had that over at our old Pirates Breakdown haunt, but we're bringing it to Locked On Pirates. And if you're not familiar, it is a game show where I take two combatants and I lock them in a to-the-death duel over Pirates topics, hot topics. You know, in this case, we'll have season opening topics, you know, what's going on with the team. We'll take three topics and have the two combatants debate them. I will score the argument, best two out of three wins. And the winner, just like the playground when you're growing up, except this one won't crush your dreams, will stay on for next week, where he or she will get a 60-second rant about anything at all. So, all right, today we have Alex Stumpf, the other main voice of Locked On Pirates. Alex, hello.
Hello. Okay. Happy to be here.
Great. And we have Kevin Cree from the Cray or Cree? I'm sorry, I never actually asked you that.
It's Cray.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kevin Cray from thepointofpittsburgh.com. Great website, not only for Pirates, but also anything about Pittsburgh city life, Steelers, and Penguins as well. And one of the co-authors of Pirates Guide 2018, available now on Amazon.com. Perfect Pirates season preview companion. Okay, guys, let's get right to it. This is our first episode on Locked On Pirates, so no opening rant this week, so we'll jump right to the topics. And the first one I have for you guys today is this. Clint Hurdle has kind of intimated that he will try to stick to static lineups as much as possible this season. Good idea? Bad idea? Alex, you start.
I think it's overall a good idea. I mean, a starting pitcher, they get to know when they're going to be pitching. It's going to be every 5 days. Makes their job in life a lot easier. I'm sure it's the same thing for better, knowing that you're coming into the clubhouse, and unless you know you have an off day, it's going to be you're batting third, or you're batting fifth, you're batting sixth. We've seen him do this for years with McCutchen and Mercer, and they both seem very comfortable in those roles. Kutch, of course, got that boost last year by going down the sixth, but back of the baseball card, he's a three-hitter. That being said, I'm not exactly crazy with this proposed lineup of Polanco and Bell batting back-to-back, because that just begs the other team to bring in a left-handed reliever. Last year, Polanco had a 56 WRC+, and Bell had a 97. And Dickerson's right next to them. He's batting fifth, and he had a 119 against lefties. Just put Dickerson between the two of them, and I think that's a fairly solid lineup that's not easy to be exploited.
And Kevin, you make some great points there. Is there any argument that it's a bad idea? Because at first thought, when I first heard this, I thought there's going to be some games where you're going to want to play some matchups, right?
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea, mostly because this season there's very low expectations, especially externally. Of course, internally, they always think that they're going to win 90 games and contend for the division. That's just the mentality of a professional athlete. But fan interest is apathetic at best. Judging by the season tickets, there's still season ticket numbers being down and the opening day tickets still being available. So I think between the fan interest and also there's not a lot expected of them from around baseball, they should be using especially the early part of the season to do some experimentation, going with odd choices like maybe putting Cervelli up in the one or two spot as a leadoff hitter to take advantage of his on-base percentage, playing the lefty-righty game and having all kinds of different platoons and just different orders in the batting lineup. I think it's something that they could maybe eke out an extra win or two, which would hopefully then help with fan interest. They could see that they're doing some interesting things and get people tuning in and coming to the ballpark again.
I want to go ahead, Alex. Go right ahead.
No, you go. You go.
Okay, I'll go. So I wanted to expound on that just a little bit because something you said kind of struck with me, and that was that the early season is the time for experimentation. I think I'm kind of starting to agree with you there. You know, Clint Hurdle is saying this, of course, but you know, obviously, in my opinion, the two biggest ways that a manager can affect a team during the regular season is lineup creation and bullpen usage. I think that's pretty tried and true at this point. I just wonder, though, if the desired effect of those two or three, okay, let's be generous and say seven or eight more wins throughout the season, if you really play the matchups right and really play guys and keep them there when they get hot in a different space, for example, is really worth it in a season where, yes, like you said, internally they're always going to think they can win. But in reality, this is more of a stepping stone season, at least in my opinion. So, Alex, do you agree with anything I said in counter-argument to Kevin there, or what was your train of thought?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with Kevin that I would like to see some experimentation with this lineup, like batting Cervelli first. But I think it would be better for them just to try to get a couple of these younger guys, get them used to hitting in a hole. The most obvious example being put Josh Bell in fourth, say, okay, we need big years from you from here on, so just hit and get used to hitting in this spot in the lineup. I think if the Pirates really are trying to win those 90-something games and get into the playoffs, then yeah, experiment. But I'm expecting this team more to be the bridge year group that we thought we were having in 2016 for them competing in 2019 instead. And if that's the case, put them in situations to try to get them used to those.
Okay, this one's going to be a tough one. I think I'm going to give it to Kevin just because he brought up the point of experimenting early in the season first, and I think I just flat out agree with him, and that's how this game is scored. It's completely bending to my will as the host, so I'm going to give that cannonball to Kevin. Before we go any further, yeah. I'd like to you like that, don't
that's
you?
That's how you, yeah.
Your first appearance, and you get the first argument, especially over Alex. Yeah. That's always very satisfying.
Pop that cherry.
That's right. So I want to talk right now to the businesses out there that may be listening, or decision makers of businesses out there. Local or national, doesn't matter. We want you to advertise on Locked On Pirates. I mentioned at the top that we are a daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. There's always something to talk about, always something to debate. And we also plan on having a lot of different interviews, a lot of different guests, a lot of different voices on the show. But again, we are daily. And I can't think of any better ROI for your business than getting into the ears of your potential customers each and every day. They're on the bus to school or to work or exercising at the gym, that kind of thing. You're going to be talking directly to them 5 days a week. So if you're interested, we have pretty good rates right now. Please email me at lockedonpirates@gmail.com or message me on Twitter. My DMs are open, as the kids say, and we are now at Locked On Pirates. So we'd love to hear from you and to get the ball rolling. All right, Kevin, we are going to go to you for the next question first. All hyperbole aside, all qualifiers aside, all scenarios aside, who, in your opinion, is the single most important player on the 2018 Pirates, and why?
I'm going to go with Starling Marte. He's the one that has exhibited the most potential to be a consistent 4-plus war type of player that the Pirates need. I know that Josh Harrison had that miracle season a couple years ago, parlayed that into a deal that's going to make many generations of the Harrison clan rich for many years to come. But overall, he's been pretty average as a player, whereas Marte has more consistently been in that 3.5 to 4 win range. And if he could just consolidate what he was doing at the tail end of last year with what he's done in the past, he needs to kind of step up to the plate and be that 4-plus war player that the Pirates need. He's probably not going to be the vocal leader in the clubhouse, but if he can do it on the field and kind of re-inspire some of the fans with some highlight catches in a premier position at center field, and he's going to have a very prominent place in the batting lineup as well, I think that'll help energize this team.
Alex, how about you? No BS. Who's your most important Pirate this year?
Gregory Polanco. I agree with the argument that Starling, you know, was a four-war guy not that long ago, 3.5-4-war guy. But we've never seen that from Polanco, even though we've seen flashes that he could be that 3 or 4-win guy. Like in 2016, pretty much everything that could go wrong for the 2016 Pirates did. And Polanco, at least through August 28th, was hitting. He had a 121 WRC plus at that point. August 28th, Pirates are a half game out of a wild card. He doesn't hit down the stretch. They fall out and finish under 500. Last year, opening day to July 3rd, he had a 79 WRC plus. From July 22nd on, 38 WRC plus. But that July 4th through July 21st stretch, all right, Pirates go 12-2, and he has a 170. He can carry this team whenever he gets hot. We just haven't seen it over a whole season. If he can have it over a whole season, he could be an all-star. And I think he has a better chance of picking up those defensive bonus points for his war compared to Marte, because he grades out better as a right fielder than Marte does as a center. So if one player could really elevate this team from meh to an actual playoff contender, I think it's Polanco. Because it's just been scratching the surface throughout his entire career.
Okay. I think I'm going to give it to you, Alex, and here's why, as much as it pains me to do so. And the reason why is because I think you made a better argument that the pendulum of what happens if Polanco does not perform well really swung me. And I think you really talked me into that one. I disagree with both of you, to be honest with you, but I'll score Alex as the better argument.
Who would you have selected? And by the way, Alex actually won me over in his argument. So
don't pump his ego anymore, please. All right.
No, a little more. Jason,
what I'm doing
is I'm pumping him up so I can crush him in the third round here.
That's sneaky. A little subterfuge element to cannonballs. That's something we've been missing. Anyway, I'm gonna say Ivan Nova, because if he performs well, and I'm not talking about late 2016 Ivan Nova, but he performs well, can put up some respectable strikeout numbers for him, I think it lengthens the rotation considerably. We're all sitting here kind of thinking by default Williams and Cool are going to be at the very least as good as they were last year, and we think they'll take a step forward. But that doesn't matter if Nova is not performing to the level that we think he can, and it really shortens the rotation if he doesn't. So that's my opinion.
He probably has the best potential out of anyone in the rotation to hit 180 innings this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. But my opinion doesn't mean jack squat on this show, so let's get back to the main crux here, and that's the third question. And we're tied at 1-1 on the first episode of Cannonballs on Locked On Pirates, so let's go to the tiebreaker. Finally, look, we have to do this. It's the day before the season. It is opening day by the time you're hearing this, so we'll have to have you guys make a season prediction and give your best supporting argument as to why. So let's start with you, Alex.
All right, I'm making it simple. I'm going an even 81 and 81. I think everyone in the rotation, besides Nova, who could also take a leap forward, but the young starters in the rotation, they all take a relatively big step forward. Losing Ketch will obviously hurt, and Cole, but between them, hopefully a up season from Polanco and a full season from Marte, regaining his form from last year. I see this team being about 6 WAR better, so I'll just say 6 wins better than last year.
All right. What a cop-out. I will say that's absolutely
man,
a cop-out.
If you didn't say it, I was just about ready to. Get off the fence. Pick either 80 or 82. What do you like, the Switzerland of baseball analysis here?
Yes, I'm going full neutrality. Great banks, though. Great banks.
Kevin, take him to school and tell him why he's wrong.
All right, here you go, young grasshopper. It's going to be 78 wins this year. I expect there to be a little bit of regression from the Williams-Cool tandem. Trevor Williams and Stephen Brault have the best podcast going out there, but I honestly have no idea how Trevor Williams is doing it. I think he's predominantly a smoke and mirrors pitcher for me, and I expect him to take a step back from what was a pretty amazing season for him last year. The Dickerson move was great, but overall, I've been very disappointed in the concept of how the Pirates approached this offseason. I think it was a total missed opportunity. They could have scooped up some guys on the cheap. The three of us have all debated this offline all offseason, but they really missed a chance to keep Cole. Trading McCutchen, I'm fine with. I understand the broader economic aspects of it, so that I'm fine with. But they could have kept Cole and added one or two pieces, made a run at it in July and see where they were, but instead they traded away the pitcher that I think had the most star upside. I mean, he was a guy that back in 2015, he was right there in the Cy Young voting, fourth Cy Young voting, and they just don't have that guy right now. As much as we all want Tyon to be that guy, I just don't see him entering into the Cy Young conversation. So I think they've weakened the starting rotation. I'm expecting a little bit of a regression, but on the other hand, not to be all doom and gloom, I really like their bullpen. They somehow made a trade in real-life baseball that would get vetoed in fantasy baseball by trading Corey Dickerson for Daniel Hudson, and then watch the Rays designate Daniel Hudson for assignment. So that was an amazing trade. But I just don't think they have enough star power to push themselves over the 81 sitting on the fence with Alex Mark. So that's why I'm going with 78.
Yeah, but is it going to take star power to really get to, say, 80 wins, though?
Well, it's a pretty competitive National League. I mean, you got to think not only just what's going on in your own division, but I think a lot of the other teams in there's the Stars and the Knots, and maybe the Pirates are one of the better of the Knots, but some of the star teams, I think, are very, very strong in the National League, and I think it's going to be difficult. You know, their division is probably the most balanced, aside from the Reds, who I think are still muddling their way through their own rebuild.
Yeah, I don't think you need Stars to be, you know, 500 or winning club. I mean, Pirates don't have a whole lot right now. Taillon probably has the best chance, but I agree he's not quite ready to enter Cy Young conversation. But I'm not as doom and gloom here. I know that, yeah, there isn't a whole lot of Stars, but I see a lot of 2 or 3 WAR players on this team, and a lot of little things can make up, you know, a big thing eventually.
I agree, but I think at the end of the day, if you take a look at it, you need at least 1.5 to 5 WAR guy, at least on a team, to really give yourself a shot at not only cresting 500, but starting to get up into that 85 win range. I just don't see them having that right now on this, you know, as we sit here pre-opening day.
Yeah, I don't see that for a playoff team, but I've seen enough of the 2 or 3 WAR guys to see a 500 club.
Yeah, I mean, for me, listening to you guys go back and forth, I'm struck by, is this team really not able to piece together 6 more wins over last year? And yeah, Alex broke it down, you know, scientifically with, you know, trying to come up with the WAR needed to get there. But for me, like in Kevin's point, talking about you need at least 1.5 WAR guy or so to really push over those middling seasons is well taken. I'm looking at the Pirates in 2015 right now, and wouldn't you know it, they had one guy, with a 5.5 or greater F WAR, and that was McCutcheon, of course. Then they had a bunch of
Culver pitchers.
Yep. Let me finish this Pirate thought. They had Culver pitchers. You're right. And they had a bunch of 3.5 guys behind him in Gong, Cervelli, and Marte, Walker 2.2, and a bunch of guys with 1.3, that kind of thing. So is there a 5.5 WAR player on this team? Probably not. And is there a bunch of 3.5 guys? I really think so. And based on that, I'm going to give the game here today to Alex, because I think all that adds up to 6 wins, and I really think they can get that done. And I really think that, you know, today at Pirates Breakdown, we actually had our staff predictions post go up, and I predicted 84 and 78. I think they'll steal a series here or there if their pitching gets hot and if the bats get hot, especially Dickerson. If they steal a couple series here and there and really beat up on the teams they are supposed to beat up on, the Reds, you know, they could end up, you know, in that mid-80s. Am I crazy? Probably. Did Alex Stumpf win cannonballs when I went into the game swearing I was going to rig it against him? Yes. These are all true statements.
Man, I lost.
The only rigging is whenever Jared's here.
So there's a lot upside down in my world right now. But look, that's the first episode of Cannonballs and Locked On Pirates. Next week, Alex will stay on and get a 60-second rant of his choosing. God help us all. I expect some arcane movie references that for movies people haven't seen.
It's going to be about whatever video game he's staying up to play at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And listen, Kevin, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
All right, Alex, a couple seconds to gloat before I unceremoniously cut you off.
No, I'm not the gloating type. That's
all the time we have today on Cannonballs and Locked On Pirates. So we will see you next week. This show will be published every Thursday, by the way, so please look out for it. The best thing you can do for us to help fuel our growth and our egos is to subscribe to our show. We're on every platform you can think of: Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, of course, Player FM, Spotify. We're everywhere. We're all encompassing, and our hubris is quite large. So please give us a review as well. So for Alex and Kevin, this is Jason from Locked On Pirates. Visit us at LockedOnPirates.com and on Twitter at LockedOnPirates. And we'll talk to you next week for another episode of Cannonballs.